I almost never unplug my appliances before working on them. What are you talking about?
Only 240 volts. What could go wrong?
I know people who don't.
Yeah, we don't need any stories.
We don't need your hair any crazier.
You're listening to Dots, Lines, and Destinations, a travel podcast with hosts Stephen Seagraves, Foz Mamoon, and Seth Miller.
Hello, and welcome to episode 577 of Dots, Lines, and Destinations. I'm Stephen Seagraves, joined today by Mr. Foz Mamoon and Seth Miller. Gentlemen, how did it feel to wake up an hour earlier today?
Too soon.
Just extra time to troubleshoot a broken dryer in my laundry room.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
Do you have a standard size closet for your, like, is it like a standard size slot for your dryer? Would you call it, is it just a room that you have space?
It's part of an addition that the prior owners put on the house, and it's in a, like, they put a full bath downstairs, which didn't have one before. And so it's basically in the full bathroom, there's a recessed double wide space. So they're side by sides.
Yep.
With a little bit of space on either side of them, and then like folding doors.
Gotcha. Yeah. Ours is kind of folding doors. It's in a hallway. Yeah. It's the space is not, it is the perfect space for 1990s sized washer and dryer.
Yeah.
Which
our old apartment in New York, the fridge could only fit one brand, like 19 inch wide. It wasn't where it was originally installed. Like, I made it work, but like, it was a 19 inch wide instead of even 20 or something like that. And because of that, it didn't have enough. You were supposed to have like an inch around it for venting.
Yes.
And because we didn't have that, it would vent out the top. But even there, I put shelving above it, and so I would burn out refrigerator compressors more frequently than we probably should. And I started getting worried that they were going to stop selling like the one model that would still fit.
So he buys a storage
unit to hold extra refrigerators.
Yeah,
sounds like something I would do.
Yeah, it does sound like he fuzz.
Just in case, I'll keep one in the warehouse.
I mean, it's kind of like me with clothes. Every time I find something I actually like, I'm like, well, I'll buy 12 of them because I like these. So
I did buy an extra pair of nice dress shoes once I found them that fit, because I'm from Fluvlog a lot, and they change their site. They cycle through different brands or different models so often.
Yep.
It's like, screw it. And so they're just sitting in my bottom of my closet waiting.
Yep. I'm with you.
I'll generally do that, but it'll never be the things I really like and don't buy enough of.
Yeah.
Yep. And then you realize, oh man, I needed like three more of these. Yeah. I like your shirt, Foz. Foz is wearing a bicycle shirt. I mean, as a cyclist, I appreciate that shirt. So Foz and I did not go to Colombo and through Doha and everything.
Shit, to be honest, nobody's going through Doha right now.
Shit.
That's not true. They've got some flights finally operational.
They loaded like four repatriation flights for Sunday.
Yeah, and last night they operated like six.
Okay.
Yeah. There were a few yesterday too, yeah. So, but I mean, Doha's probably been the hit the most, right? I've been watching. Dubai's been working.
I say impacted the most in terms of airline operations.
Fair point. Dubai's been like, there's a lot more operations happening out of Dubai, and it's not just Emirates and Fly Dubai. There's other carriers coming in out of Dubai now.
Yeah, but it's still, I just looked before we started, on an average day, seats at Dubai, Doha, and Abu Dhabi combined, about 300,000 each direction, like in and 300 out.
Really?
Yeah,
it's a few.
So, you know, people, I was impressed by, you know, there's, you know, the concern / complaint of, why don't people reroute? Why don't you rebook on another airline? This and that. And like, okay, let's pretend it's only 80% load factor, which is probably low. So that means you've got 240,000 people each day. And let's assume 100% of it is connecting traffic, which it isn't. But still, like 240,000 people each day trying to get through those three airports, and maybe, what, 100,000 seats?
Yeah.
So what do you do with another 120,000 people every day?
I mean, someone posted something. They were in Bangkok, and they actually went to the Qatar ticket office hoping to get, you know, like, oh, I'll talk to an agent. It was like a three-day wait to speak to an agent. They were giving out tickets with timings to come talk to them, and it was like a madhouse. They posted pictures. It was insane.
Yeah.
I think so many people connect through these prices that it's like, I don't know. It's it's and the other carriers that are in Asia don't necessarily have enough seats to carry the people, the excess capacity.
I mean, so. Of course they don't. Why would they have 180,000 spare seats lying around?
Yeah.
But here's the problem. The U.S. carriers are making this problem worse. I was working with someone we all know last week, and they were supposed to fly through Dubai to get to the Maldives. And United was insisting, because the flight hadn't canceled, they're not going to rebook it. Like, we'll get you to Dubai. That was their exact words.
But that's the problem, though. I think it's not just the U.S. carriers. It's also these carriers in the Middle East. Like, Qatar has been rolling days of cancellations. Like, I think it's their own. They've created this problem. Like, Qatar's like, oh, well, we'll check back in tomorrow at 9 a.m. Why don't you just cancel everything for a week and say, we will rebook people, and let that be the message, rather than, like, stringing people out thinking they're actually going to go through, because they're not. It's not going to reopen. If you have a repatriation flight, maybe Qatar reaches out to you, but it's not going to happen. It's just not.
Or, like, the flight I was supposed to be on from De Gaulle to Abu Dhabi canceled 3 days before, and then the morning of, suddenly got reinstated.
Yeah.
Did it actually operate?
It did.
All right.
So it was a repatriation. They probably reached out to people who had said, I need to get home.
Right.
And so...
The question that I have is, right, how many people are going to Abu Dhabi to go to Abu Dhabi? How are they making the problem worse by flying them back into Abu Dhabi and not being able to get them out?
That's a good point, too.
Well, right, that's the thing with the Qatar Airways flights. They explicitly said these are only seats for people who plan to terminate in Doha.
Yeah.
They refused to take anyone with a connecting itinerary.
Which is probably a smart move. I just wish they wouldn't do these rolling cancellations. I wish they would just pick a date and say, we're going to reevaluate, you know, again in a week for operations. I mean, I'm sure they don't want to do that. Like you said, it's a ton of seats every day.
Yeah.
But, like, at this point, like, I mean, even Riyadh the other day, I think it was 3 days ago, 2 days ago, Riyadh had to close because there was a ballistic missile that made it into Riyadh. So,
yeah. I'm just popping up some random research here. 70% of Abu Dhabi's traffic is transit of the 55,000 seats that go through there. That's 40,000 seats.
Every day.
Every day of people trying to connect through. And then you get, like, and there has been some service people trying to bring things back. You get Malaysia Airlines added, like, a flight to London and two to Paris, or one to Paris and two to London. I forget which. But, like, okay, fine. You throw an A330 at that. That's 500 seats.
Yep.
Doesn't do a lot. I mean, we did have people just through, or 40,000 people just through Abu Dhabi.
Yep. Well, and I liked, there was some, I mean, even the European carriers and other carriers are trying to do kind of repatriation type flights. So
yeah,
I think Lufthansa, also, I think everybody in Europe has basically told people, if you can get to the land border with Saudi Arabia or to Oman, we can get you out. There will be a repatriation flight, and they've offered decent prices for the flights. Like,
yeah,
you know,
Ireland used to Cairo as its base.
Yeah. Which I don't know how that was going to work for folks, but okay. I don't know. Do they own a globe?
BA is using Muscat.
Yeah. Oman is a big gateway these days because it's far enough south.
Yeah. But I was listening that some of the land border crossing waits were like 15 hours into these different places.
Someone shared a Instagram ad of a company advertising, like, escort guidance services for that border transit and then onward flight services for people trying to get out.
Nice work if you can get it, I guess.
Pretty quick pivot to, you know, what's new in the industry.
Yeah. Interesting. But, I mean, I guess the extra capacity from the European carriers' standpoint of getting people out makes a lot of sense. Just to help move people. Yeah. And, like,
you know, kind of my favorite is the people who are desperately trying to get back to Dubai so that they don't lose their tax breaks.
Oh, is that what everybody's doing? Is that like the...
Yeah. So Dubai has been basically paying people to live there and talk about how great it is. And a lot of UK folks move down there. And then certainly other countries as well. And, like, but you have to have a certain number of days in country in the UAE. And for the UK folks, you can only have so many days in the UK or you become a citizen in the UK again. So, like, unlike in the United States, where we pay income tax on if you're a citizen, you pay the tax regardless of how many days you spend in the U.S. In some of these other countries, you don't.
Yeah.
So.
This is like the Puerto Rico for the crypto bros. Got it.
I mean, in some ways, yes.
What about the, I mean, there's also the people who have been told to go to Cyprus, which is an interesting choice. Like if you're in Tel Aviv or in somewhere in Israel and they're like, go to Cyprus. I'm like, how? On a boat?
Well, United Soul people, they've extended their waiver includes Athens. So if you can get to Athens, they'll change it.
Yeah.
Again, how? Like,
there are commercial flights running out of Tel Aviv.
Oh, they are. It's back operating.
It's not a ton of capacity, but I've been seeing some flights, and some of it's regular scheduled LL stuff. Some of it's, charter ferry evac flights.
Because if I'm in Tel Aviv and someone's like, oh, well, if you need to get home, go to, just get to Athens and there's no flights. I'm going to say, do you own a map? Like, I don't, yeah.
I gotta go through Syria. Right. Like one of the problems right now is we're a week into this. At least the U.S. airlines haven't updated their waivers at all.
Yeah.
And they're still selling tickets.
Yep.
So, like, and they, you know, they all say if you bought your ticket prior to February 28th, well, what if I buy my, but like Steve and I had just changed our tickets for the end of the month. What happens if things don't recover by then?
Yeah.
And those waivers were basically explicit. The reason we had to do the end of the month was because they said you have to fly by the 29th of March.
Yeah. They wouldn't refund our outbound. They'd wanted to reprice it. And they said, you have to fly by the 29th. So we had no choice.
Like, how is that? How does that work? Like, that's stupid. It's just stupid.
And there was a cancellation, so that's why we asked for a refund initially.
Just dumb. Anyway.
If they canceled the flight, they owe you a refund, but...
Well, we could refund the whole thing, but they wouldn't just refund the outbound and preserve the return. Like, most airlines generally will do that, right? If they cancel part of it, I'll get myself there, just preserve my return, and they'll give you half your money back. It was like, no, we're going to reprice this whole thing.
Yeah, there. Also of note, just for what it's worth, Azerbaijan, which now has become a major choke point / throughput point for traffic between Europe and South Asia, sort of Georgia or Armenia, and then Azerbaijan crossing, and then across through Turkmenistan. Azerbaijan closed the southern half of its airspace a couple days ago. So, basically it's narrowed the range through which there's capacity for people to fly.
I mean, there's only so many highways through Azerbaijan. Yeah. So
taking threading a needle to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Did they say why?
It's basically providing buffer around the northern edge of Iran for safety. I mean, they didn't say that explicitly. The NOTAM said for ops reasons, which is, super great.
Yeah. I mean, because a lot of the European, I mean, basically your options are, if you're going to Asia from Europe, it's through Azerbaijan, or it's down now south of Oman, and then through basically northern Africa up through Europe.
There's still decent flow through Saudi Arabia and across.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia. Yeah, that too. Yeah, but that's out of the way when you actually look at them. When you look at a map, like, it's very out of the way. So I love watching the Russia flights because, like, things going from Dubai to Moscow go down and around the Persian Gulf, up the Persian Gulf into Egypt, cross east back over Turkey, then up and kind of thread the needle around Ukraine, and then up into Moscow. It turns like a 3-hour flight into like a 6-hour flight.
Red Sea, not Persian Gulf, but yeah.
Red Sea, yeah, sorry, Red Sea.
Yeah, some S curves in there.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
But I will say it's impressive. Amman, Jordan has remained mostly operational through all of this.
It is impressive. So is Beirut.
Yeah, not 100%, but.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Do we see this ending in the next 3 weeks? I don't.
I hope.
Hope, yeah.
Hope.
I just don't see an ending. And I think it's the randomness of the strikes that I think has thrown all the carriers off. Like, if it was like, oh, this is very clearly targeted attacks, it lasts for a day or two, they can go back to operations. But it's like, every now and then, they just get a drone that flies over and blows something up. And because of the way the U.S. airbase is in Qatar specifically, it has to fly over the airport. So,
yeah,
that's a problem. Anyway, Seaport, The little airline that could, the one that I think we've talked about on here before.
I didn't realize they still existed.
They did. They do still exist. We talked about them on here because they fly Portland to Boeing Field like 7 times a day. They're starting Boeing Field to Spokane. And
there's a demand there?
I guess there is Moses Lake. I don't know why they wouldn't, you know, I don't know why they wouldn't start Moses Lake to be Boeing Field. But
I was going to ask, how far is Moses Lake? I mean, you would want to do Spokane because you can catch people other than Boeing people.
Yeah, true. Moses Lake is close. I can't remember how close. It's close, like 20 minutes from Spokane, I think.
Oh, so that's doable.
Yeah. Let me see. I'm just going to look it up real quick. That's the only thing I think of. Like, I don't know how there's demand. Oh, no, it's further than I thought. It's an hour and a half walk.
Or drive?
Hour and a half drive. Moses Lake is like smack dab in the middle of Washington, and Spokane's on the eastern edge. So, yeah, I don't know who this is serving.
Okay, I don't.
Because you're not.
Seth and I know where to get good cinnamon buns in Spokane.
Yeah, I'd have to find that place again. Those were good, though.
Oh, the good old Spokane runs. I remember those.
It was next to the courtyard.
Yeah. Spokane to Tampa?
Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. Oh, yeah. It's Airfares, right, on United?
Yes.
Or U.S. Airways? Is it U.S.
Airways? Both U.S. Air and United.
Are these the ones you could route through, like, Phoenix?
Yeah.
New Orleans,
yeah.
The U.S. Air one was through Phoenix. The United one was you could do 3 connections.
No wonder you're 4 million miler. Anyway, I think this is
it. I ran around to golf on a layover on one of those. There's a really nice course in Coeur d'Alene just across the border.
Well, yeah.
So I think the day after, Foz and I went out one day, and then I went back like 2 more times, having slept at the airport at O'Hare. And one of the times I went and played a round of golf.
Man, mileage runs in their stories. I think this is interesting just because I haven't been able to figure out if they actually offer connecting itineraries. From what my searching, it doesn't look like they do. But because I was going to do Portland to Boeing Field to Spokane and back or something, or just fly one way and take Alaska back. It's just interesting because I think, to your point, Foz, Spokane to Boeing Field, like, is there that much demand from Spokane? I mean, it's only like 12 seats. But that's, you know, 5 times a day. It's a decent number of people. And you're not connecting to SeaTac. You're going into central Seattle. So I don't know. It's a weird one.
Frankie Doodles was the name of the place.
There you go. Doodles. Oh, we have ADHD. Huh?
What?
And then this isn't really follow-up. I mean, it's kind of follow-up. Lufthansa, the new livery, if they've now painted basically every one of their wide bodies, at least one, with the new livery, and it looks really, really good on the 748.
Looks really good.
I was going to say, it looks good on all of them.
Yeah. We had a friend who spotted it on a 78 recently, and looked good on that, and I think on the 748, I think it looks pretty amazing. And then Gull. Seth, you put this topic in here.
Yeah, finally getting their 330s. So, they're an all 737 airline right now. Late last year, Abra Group, which is the parent of them, Avianca and Wamos, announced that they were getting 7 new A330neos. 5 of them are going to fly for Gull. And deliveries are supposed to start maybe this year. They are supposed to start this year, later this year. It seems like in order to get sort of some of the operations off the ground, Wamos is going to be supporting it, and so they might bring some of the older planes over and start with the older plane while they sort of ramp up, or it'll be one less crew because they're trained. I'm not entirely sure, but should be very interesting to see that happen. Let's go extend into North America or Europe, which is right now with the 737, they don't really do that. Also, pretty dense plane.
Yeah, I was gonna say the number of seats that are on these planes is pretty high.
Yeah, 290 is more than 290 seats, but includes a business class cabin. It didn't release any of the specific details, but yeah, A330-900. I'm just trying to pull up like a Delta config. 290 seats seems like an awful lot to me. Delta does, well, about that, 29, 28, 224. So that's 281 on Delta. It's not that far off.
One extra row?
Yeah. I mean, or no premium economy, and
yeah,
we'll see. So I forget that it's just that much bigger a plane.
I mean, is it, do you think Gaul is going to displace at all or try and compete with LATAM? Is that the market here?
Yeah, I would assume that.
Yeah.
The real question is how much do they try to go into direct competition versus secondary cities and figure it out, you know?
Or yeah.
Slightly lower demand, slightly lower competitive markets.
Yeah, I was going to say, because Gull isn't part of, are they partners with anybody?
They had American, right?
Is that
still around? I know American has been doing weird shit down there. But yeah, it's, yeah, they're still a partner there.
Okay.
So that'll, but it's, again, that's been challenging through the bankruptcy and everything else for Gull. But, you know, they've come out of it. They're doing it. Nice growth. Also, does American really need help getting people to Brazil?
Yeah. Or maybe around Brazil. That's about it. Or tertiary cities, like you said.
I mean, they have cut some capacity in and out of Brazil. Also, they could use additional lift.
That they don't have to directly fly.
Yeah, because they stopped doing all the secondary cities, right? At this one, I think it's just Rio and Sao Paulo that they're flying again.
They're not doing the city in the north?
Recife?
Yeah, Recife. They're not doing Recife anymore?
I don't think they are.
Seth is looking. I can see it. He's pondering. Yeah. His searching face is on.
Because I think that was a 7.5 route, and they don't have 7.5s anymore.
Mm. Yeah. For June 2026, just Rio and Sao Paulo.
Wow. Okay. And then on not using planes on that front, Azul is dropping the XLR.
Yeah. And can't say I'm that surprised.
I don't know. Just because of all the issues?
Well, what does the range get you, and where can you use it? Where it would make a little bit of sense for Azul would be sort of all the places that TAP is using it, if they wanted to sort of go after some of those secondary markets, because they do fly, if I remember correctly, they definitely fly over to Portugal.
Yep.
In addition to the North America stuff. I think for the North America stuff, I know, you just like look at a map of what the range gets you, and it's a weird limited set of options relative to, you know, like you don't get that much more access to things, especially if you start going from like the smaller cities up north. Yeah, but without the XLR, you can hit all the stuff you need in both North America and Europe. So, and if you're going to try like from Rio, you need a bigger plane.
Gotcha. So they're looking at it from a economics perspective of the airplane. Issues aside, can we make this plane work? And then I guess add the issues on top of that, and they're just like, this doesn't make sense for us.
Yeah.
So where are those birds going? Someone's picking up the deliveries, I'm guessing.
I didn't see the detail there. They may just be taking them as regular 321s, though.
Oh, okay.
I need to go back and track. But yeah, it's an interesting... here we go. Also, the whole refinancing thing. So they may have just become available for another airline. Yeah. Maintains committed to the Airbus A320neo family. So for domestic ops.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. And then Amex. What is Sidecar? What are we talking about here?
These are a new lounge concept they're launching because, you know, the Centurion lounges are too full.
Mm-hmm.
And so rather than deal with that problem, they're introducing this new walk-in lounge. I don't think there's going to be much in the way of seats. You can only get in if you're departing within 90 minutes. And the first one is opening in Vegas.
Because Vegas has so many people flying through it these days.
If you were to go to Vegas, the lounges are always full.
Well, that's where everybody is.
Yeah.
Free food.
Yeah, it's a non-lounge, right? United had the grab and go, I want to say, first. Americans got it now. Amex is catching on. Like, this is the you quote unquote paid for lounge access and you're mad that you're not getting your free drinks and free food. So here, take the food and get the hell out of here.
I would actually argue, I think it was Air Canada who had it before United.
Did they? Okay.
The, like the fly through lounges that United touts.
Yeah. From. Denver, I think, had it first, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like this is, if that was my lounge option, I'd be like, okay, this isn't a lounge, but
sure.
Glad you gave me something, I guess. I mean, this all comes back to like, people should just cancel their credit cards. Yeah. It's crazy. And they're calling it sidecar. Really? Are they serving to-go drinks? Because that's just what we need in airports.
Oh, a roadie. Yeah, that's going to work out really well. I guess. What's the worst that could happen?
So I don't know if I ever told you guys this. I mean, it still exists in Houston, so maybe I have, and maybe people should go check it out.
Drive-through daiquiris?
Yes. Drive-through daiquiris are a thing. They serve it in a sealed plastic bag, so they're not breaking the law by serving you an open container in a car. Even though it's in a cup, and they give you a straw, it's in a sealed plastic baggie. And it's not super hard liquor. It's like, it's basically like malt liquor in a bag. So, but this is what this sounds like to me. It's like, here, have your sidecar as you walk through the airport.
I think so. Yeah. It's an interesting word to use just because it can have multiple meanings.
Yeah. Like it could be a beverage. It could be
the beverage or the extra seat in a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Among
yeah.
other things. So.
Neither of which have super positive connotations for a lounge, in my opinion, but okay.
There's a guy around here that has a motorcycle with a sidecar that has the rides around with his dog in it, and I think that's spectacular. So that's what I'm going to choose to imagine.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Pleasant experience.
I like it. Anything else you guys want to chat about?
No.
Not for me.
Cool. We'll get some bonus topics. We're going to talk about some fraud. Talk about Canada approving the new Gulfstreams. United Nigeria wanting to fly to the United States, Delta and their new leadership, and then FAA limits around ski areas. So stick around if you're a Patreon supporter. If not, thanks for listening. We will talk to you next time. Happy travels.
Take care.
See you later.